Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When your dad started building a man cave in your bedroom, you knew it was time to start building something for yourself. Let's job it up. At CareerBuilder, we're ready to help at every stage of your search. Build a resume, get industry tips and advice, and apply to multiple jobs in just one click. Start your search at careerbuilder.com.
Still living in 2021 and manually taking notes? There is a better way. Start the new year with Otter.ai. Automatically get meeting notes. Otter.ai works for virtual meetings like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Google Meet. Sign up on the web for free or download in the app stores. Otter.ai. That's OTTER.ai.
Mail's here. It's 2 minutes later than yesterday. And because you know it's 6 minutes earlier than the day before, you decided it was time to get back to work. Let's job it up. At CareerBuilder, we're ready to help at every stage of your search. Build a resume, get industry tips and advice, and apply to multiple jobs in just one click. Get started now at CareerBuilder.com.
The Large Neutron Collider podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Large Neutron Collider, the podcast that's all about the geeky things happening in the world around us and how very excited we are about them. I'm Ariel Kasten, and with me, as always, is the super Jonathan Strickland.
Ariel, I have a question for you. Considering that we are talking about super stuff, flight or invisibility?
Ooh.
Classic question.
So I think I'm going to have to go with invisibility. I've had dreams all the time where, like, I'm a kid and I can fly, but it's never, like, high up in the air. It's always, like, you start running and then you're just a foot above the ground. I'm kind of afraid of heights and falling, so I don't think I'd want to fly. However, I do LARP, and invisibility would be hilarious. I would never lose a module. What about you?
You'd be peeping in the locker room. I understand. I got you. No, I know where you're coming from.
Ew.
I go with flight because I'm not a deviant like you. I like the idea of being able to travel wherever I want, whenever I want, soaring through the air majestically like some sort of bald pigeon. Yes, flight for me all the way. I'm not gonna do that whole like Invisible Man creepy motif.
I'm not gonna do a creepy motif. Look, I'm just gonna hide in the woods and jump out at people.
You're right. I don't know what I was thinking. I take it all back.
But listen, flying anywhere you want, anytime you want is not great, because let's say you want to fly to Hawaii. You didn't say that super strength comes with your flight, so you're just going to be carrying that very heavy suitcase with you through the air all the way to Hawaii. You're going to get so much bird poop on it.
I'll have you know, I plan on just buying everything once I get there. Going to go to first stop in Hawaii, retail outlet mall. Second stop in Hawaii, the beach. Maybe the Poke Shack, because that place is da bomb. Okay, well, we've got that, but we have news to cover. But before we get to any of that, Ariel, I've got some fast breaking news. Here's the breaking news. It's super important. George Clooney has signed on to become an executive producer and star of a TV series, Buck Rogers. Okay.
Oh, that's great. What details do we have on that?
George Clooney has signed on to be an executive producer and star of a new Buck Rogers TV show. That's all I got. I guess it wasn't that important.
No, I mean, it's something to possibly look forward to, so that, you know, in a couple of months when we get details about it, you go, oh, yeah, I remember that. I like Buck Rogers.
Did you ever watch the TV series, the campy, like, 1970s era? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I watched that, too. And whenever I think about that, I think of Mel Blanc doing the voice of Tweaky, mm-hmm. the little robot, bitty, bitty, bitty. So I'm not sure it's going to be the same, especially since I'm pretty sure they're going to go back to the original reference material, which doesn't have a spunky little sidekick robot. But, yeah, I saw that news and thought, well, we should include this because, you know, it's nostalgic for me and you, and all the young listeners out there are like, what? Buck who?
That, you know what? It's okay, because the next news item we have is for young listeners, which is that the Guinness Book of World Records is trying to do, set a record of the most people singing a song from The Greatest Showman ever. So
yeah, the idea being that it's a big collaborative effort, right? That you're going to have the most people singing, and they're mm-hmm. going to create a collaborative video of all these different people singing a particular song from The Greatest Showman, which is
From Now On. They are trying to get at least 5,000 participants. It is a benefit for the Actors Fund, which, if you are not familiar, is a financial fund for the Broadway actors who really need it now, since Broadway is still closed a year later.
And probably will be for most of 2021.
Unfortunately, I want to go see my shows, Jonathan.
I had tickets, Ariel.
I know, me too. But as of listening to this episode, you can still be a part. They want you to record the video and challenge 4 friends using the hashtag BWayWorldRecord and share it on social media. They also say that you can tag Broadway stars and challenge them.
You know that Hugh Jackman's going to be part of this.
Yeah, they've already got some actors committed. They've got Alice Ripley from Next to Normal, John Tartaglia from Avenue Q, Kristen Anderson Lopez from Frozen, and Jay Armstrong Johnson from Phantom of the Opera. Yeah. And you can be a part of this up until February 28th, which is the deadline.
Yeah, I think I'll give this one a skip because my singing voice isn't strong enough. And also, I'm at best a casual fan of The Greatest Showman. At best.
I was about to say, like, they don't say anything about having to sing it well. So that's just an excuse. But I do understand Greatest Showman.
Yeah, okay. I'm not a huge fan of it. You know what? Okay. I actually would have enjoyed it a lot more if they had not said it was supposed to be P.T. Barnum, because I had real issues with the lionization of P.T. Barnum, who was a much more complicated person than the musical would have you understand. But I don't want to yuck anyone's yum either. I know a lot of people really love The Greatest Showman, and there's nothing wrong with loving it. I mean, that's you do you. For me, there was one song in that show that I really loved and another song that I liked, but that was it. Everything else. Neither of them are from now on.
Fair enough. I mean, it is interesting to say they've gotten permission from Disney to do this.
Yes, so. Yes. This is something that's got full clearance. To me, it's another remarkable example of Disney giving the go-ahead for some creative uses of their properties, which, as we've pointed out in previous episodes, is remarkable considering how protective Disney has been of its IP in the past.
Mm-hmm. Also weird, but delightful, was the latest trailer for Raya and the Last Dragon.
I hadn't seen anything. I knew about this movie. I knew it was coming out, but I hadn't seen any trailers. I hadn't watched anything of it until we were making this episode. And the trailer is, first of all, the style looks amazing. They made Raya look like a total kick butt warrior. I was trying to think of a good family-friendly way of saying it. She looks amazing in it. The antagonist is, at least from what I can gather from the trailer, also a woman. And then the dragon is a female dragon. So we've got a film where multiple characters, important characters to the story, are all women, which I also thought was awesome. It's not, no one draws attention to it in the trailer, but I noticed it just because it's something that we haven't seen a lot of until fairly recently. And I like that trend is continuing.
I do too. I also really like that. I like that the character is such a kick butt character, like you said. It almost feels like Disney wanted their take on the Avatar The Last Airbender to me.
Yeah, I was getting a lot of that. I was getting a little bit of Mulan vibes. There were a couple of other like properties I would think of. Even Kubo and the Two Strings, there's a little bit of that in there. There's definitely some stuff you can tell where some influences came in. The attitude of the dragon feels like a very much a nod to sort of Wushu and Mulan.
I mean, it's Awkwafina, and you gotta love her.
It's a good trailer, and the action looks like it's going to be really, really interesting. I am eager to see this. It's interesting because it doesn't look like the kind of typical feel-good sort of Disney stuff. Like, it doesn't seem all warm and fuzzy and squishy. It seems a little more action-oriented, which is great, too. I think that looks really interesting.
I think I haven't been as excited for a Disney computer-animated movie as this since Wreck-It Ralph, which I know that you don't feel the same way about that movie as I do, Jonathan.
For me, I'd have to go with, if we're not talking Pixar, if we're just talking about Disney proper, Big Hero 6.
Yeah, I could see that as well, which has a very similar kind of action-y vibe to it. This will be available on Disney Plus.
For premium.
On their premiere, for premium on March 5th, which means eventually you'll get it on your regular subscription, but I might honestly pay for
this. No, I think I'm going to pay for it too, because I really want to see it, and I want that experience of discovery and not have everything kind of laid out for me before I get a chance to see it. Because the discovery part...
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure we can talk about this in a longer section at some future episode, but the discovery part of a new property is one of the great joys for me. Like, I can handle going in, hearing spoilers, but I really love that experience of discovering something as it's playing out. You can't replicate that. If you already know what's happening before you go and see it, it's different. You can still enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with it, but it is different.
Mm. I agree. Something on Disney Plus that I don't think you're going to have to pay premium for is the Black Panther show that's in development.
Or at least a Wakanda show. It's a show set in Wakanda.
The Black Panther director.
Whether or not it involves a Black Panther character, played by Shuri, you would imagine, we don't know. It may not even be set in the quote unquote modern day of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's no real telling. But we know that the director of Black Panther is going to be behind the development of the show and that it is set in Wakanda. And bring it on. I am eager to see more of that world.
Yeah, yeah. It was such great creation, and we only got a small part of it in the first Black Panther movie. So
And a little bit in Infinity War.
A little bit. Not near enough.
No.
Not near enough. You can tell that there's a whole bunch of richness in that world that we didn't get to see. Something I did get to see this week is... Yeah,
this was something Ariel shared with me that I had not seen, and I'm so thankful that I have a co-host like Ariel to bring this into my life.
Yeah, is some fans took the Jurassic Park trailer and mashed it up with Pee-wee Herman, making all of the dinosaurs Pee-wee Herman. When you hear that concept, you say, oh, I know what this is going to look like. But no, it's way better than what you imagine in your brain.
For one thing, they resisted the urge of making a dinosaur-sized Pee-wee Herman. Mm-hmm. It's a Pee-wee Herman-sized Pee-wee Herman. And the integration of Pee-wee Herman shots into Jurassic Park scenes is done pretty darn well. Like, there are bits where you are looking at a Jurassic Park character and Pee-wee Herman is popping up from behind a tree, and you can tell there was some compositing done, but it looks really good for a joke.
Yeah, and there's only one time where they skip to like a not Jurassic Park scene, and it's brief.
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, where it's him over on the corner of a house and he's just doing his little Pee-wee Herman laugh. Everything else is essentially Jurassic Park with some Pee-wee Herman integrated into it, including
working remotely. Where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The infamous sequence where the T-Rex is chasing the Jeep and it's the must go faster. And I don't want to say any more than that, other than you need to see it to really appreciate it.
But we'll put that link in our show notes on our website when this episode goes live so that you can watch it too. We just wanted to give it a shout out since we love mashups. We had to love on this mashup.
Yes. And that wraps up our quick headlines for this week. When we come back, we are going to have a deep discussion about the DC Cinematic Universe and what we would do if we were put in charge of it in order to kind of fix it. Seems like it's really presumptuous, but I'm going to say fix it. And then also stick around, because at the end of this episode with our mashup, we have chosen a mashup topic that is in part a tribute to the late, great Cloris Leachman, a phenomenal comic actor who we lost just recently. And so you'll want to stick around for that too. But first, we got to take this quick break.
Still living in 2021 and manually taking notes? Start the new year with Otter.ai to generate automatic notes for meetings, interviews, or lectures. With Otter.ai, you can search the meeting notes, insert images, playback the audio, and share them with your friends or coworkers. You can capture action items, remember meeting details, and keep everyone informed. Otter.ai works for in-person or virtual meetings like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Google Meet. Sign up for free at Otter.ai or download the app for free. Otter.ai, that's OTTER.AI.
This episode is brought to you by Wix. Are you ready to take your business online? You need Wix, the leading website creation platform that's got all the tools you need to create, manage, and grow your brand. Over 200 million people are already using Wix's wide range of solutions to enhance their businesses, like ultra-smart SEO tools designed to get you found on search engines, faster loading times to create outstanding user experiences, and payment solutions to help you boost your revenue. Plus, with enterprise-grade security built into every site, you know you're in safe hands. So whether you're starting your online business or you've got a side hustle, with Wix, you can design a site to showcase your work that'll look great on any device. You can also manage everything from one dashboard on desktop and mobile, so you can be available anywhere at any time. In the office, at home, or on the go. Want to get started? Head over to Wix.com and create your website today. That's Wix.com.
Have you ever felt depressed about work, only to have your dad be like, "Why are you so down?" So you told him you hate your job, and he said, "Well, you better talk yourself out of it." And then you thought, I love to talk. I could host a podcast. And then you went to Spreaker from iHeart and started a podcast and got good at it, then monetized it, then quit your boring job, then told your dad, "Thanks for the advice." And he was like, "Well, that's not what I meant, and I don't understand what a podcast is, but you seem happy, so that's great, kiddo." You ever do that? Well, you could. At Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker. Ask your dad. You actually don't.
And we're back. Thanks for coming back with us. So we're going to talk about the DCEU. And Jonathan, I'm taking it by you saying that it needed to be fixed before the break, that you are not a fan of how it is currently being laid out.
I am not, Ariel. Thank you for asking me about this. I've made it pretty clear. Anyone who listened to old episodes of Large Nerdron Collider, the classic ones from like 2016, 2017, you know that even back then I was complaining about the way DC was going about their cinematic universe. That dead horse is still continuing to be beaten by yours truly, because I don't think it's necessarily gotten much better. I have multiple problems with it. Problem one is that the whole Zack Snyder take on making everything dark and grim doesn't sit too well with me, largely because, like, I think there should be some dark and grimness in there. I think there need to be stakes. Like, without stakes, there's no conflict, and without conflict, there's no drama. But I feel like heroes need to occasionally be, I don't know, heroic.
Heroic, yeah.
Yeah. And inspiring and that sort of thing, which is why Wonder Woman, the original Wonder Woman film from this latest batch, is still, I think, my favorite of all the ones that have come out so far, with the possible exception of Shazam, which feels almost tangential.
But it was also pretty dark.
It was pretty dark, but it had more lighthearted moments than any of the other DC films. And then the other part kind of ties into that tangential thing, which is that there is no coherent or cohesive strategy, right? Like, there are so many different DC properties, and there are disagreements about which ones actually fit into the mainline DC universe versus being some sort of offshoot. Like Joker, the movie Joker, which a lot of people loved, is not part of the mainstream DC cinematic universe. There was talk of another Jared Leto Joker movie, which never, as far as I know, is not happening. But that also wasn't going to be part of the mainstream DC universe. And you start to wonder, well, why are you bothering crafting these? I mean, I understand the appeal of having heroes from different franchises or different lines cross over. There's always, like, it's that dream of, oh, yay, it's Batman and Superman. Like, I get it. That's a big deal in the comics. It's a big deal in the movies. But if you're not going to craft a really strong, coherent universe, then it almost seems like you should really just be developing one-shot films that are good stories featuring these characters, but there's no necessary connective tissue to everything else.
I agree. So, I mean, DC, to the dark thing, DC is not a stranger to dark storylines in the comics. Sure. But I do feel like you need to set up the hero in that story as the hero, like you said, before you can enjoy that journey down a path that they maybe shouldn't go. You're more invested then. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the continuity is hard. I feel like they tried so hard to catch up with Marvel, but by that time, they already had a bunch of TV shows out, and they already had all of these one-off movies. We've had so many Batman series that it was almost like an afterthought. I do feel like they, up until the Snyder Cut, I feel like they had been slowly edging away from everything being super dark, even through this latest Wonder Woman movie. But I still feel like trying to add that levity to what little through line there is, it just makes the stories extra long and extra convoluted.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no efficiency in storytelling in the DC cinematic universe. Everything is a little too bloated. And I mean, when there are important plot points that hinge on such silly things, like the fact that two characters have mother figures who were named Martha, and somehow that's what brings them together. I mean, I get it. Like, that's been memed to death, right? But it's still ridiculous. It's why it's been memed to death. It is a ridiculous point in a film. And, you know, there were just so many decisions that I disagreed with, especially in those early Snyder films. Like, without, as you say, without making the hero heroic, you have no one to cheer for. It's like they decided they wanted to skip straight to the Frank Miller version of old Batman and show him as, you know, someone who is still plodding along, but is very cynical and very pessimistic about things, and pragmatic in a way that's extremely dark. And they didn't want to get to any of the stuff that led him to that journey. They just wanted to jump to that. Same with the fact that they didn't go through the same setup that Marvel did when it began to establish all these individual characters and then the connection they had with one another to lead into the Avengers titles. And, you know, we didn't even get into the Thanos storyline until we were probably about halfway through those initial Marvel films.
Yeah.
It was only in the back half that the Thanos storyline really started to play out. And to the point where some people were even asking, like, why should we care about Thanos? And then Infinity War happened and everyone suddenly really cared about Thanos. But it just showed that they did a very long lead up to that. Whereas DC was almost like, dump all the toys out on the floor. Okay, now they're all together. Let's make them do stuff. But they didn't build any of that individually.
Like I said, I feel like it really was them playing a game of catch up to try to get to Marvel's success level before people were burnt out on superheroes, which has come and gone since the MCU has begun. I feel like when they said, okay, now anybody can make any movie about any DC character, DC comic character, that it was their attempt to try to salvage the fandom without having to continue, like basically trying out alternate timelines to see if any of those stick better than their current prime timeline. So then they can just switch over to that.
I mean, like, clearly the Harley Quinn movie is an example of that, right? Mm-hmm. Where the Harley Quinn film, they saw how people responded to the character of Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad, even though that movie is its own garbage fire.
The first one, because I think the next one's going to be really good.
Well, until it comes out, I'm not going to hold my breath, right? So they have to prove me wrong, okay? I feel pretty comfortable saying the first film is a garbage fire. But that led to the ability for the Harley Quinn film to come out. And I think people responded more toward that, mm-hmm. which just showed that there are, and Joker again, Joker is another movie that did phenomenally well. I'll spare you my thoughts on Joker, but it did really well. And again, is not connected to the rest of the threads in the DC universe. Mm-hmm. So it's a complicated issue. Like if it were me, I'd almost say like, all right, we're going to have to start with a fresh slate. Mm-hmm. Some of the casting I might keep because I think that some of the folks who are in their roles are good for those roles,
yeah.
But like, we're just going to do what the comic books do occasionally, which is that you do a big reset. It happens in comics all the time where you have some sort of cataclysmic event that destroys every reality so that it can start fresh. And then you start screwing it up all over again, but at least you can start fresh.
Well, and I thought that's what they were doing with the James Gunn Suicide Squad that's coming out, because it's not a second movie. It's just another Suicide Squad movie. But then they and you know, James Gunn did great with Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. and the cast for this new movie is pretty spectacular. They all of the actors ride a good line between action and intense and comedy. But then they did carry over some of the characters like Harley Quinn and Boomerang and things like that. So it's not quite as much of a reboot as I initially thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So if you were trying to fix this, mm-hmm. like my argument is to scrap it all and start over. But do you think it's something that you could see as being salvageable, like keeping everything that exists now and just building further upon it?
Yes. Yes. And my reasoning for that is I've said since the beginning, and if you're a longtime LNC listener, you'll know this, that I feel like the real problem with the Justice League is how dark it is. I feel like they've been going lighter and lighter and lighter. Justice League, much like the newer Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, the storyline was not strong, but they got the characters right. Even at the end, Superman got to be Superman, and that was nice. But I enjoyed watching all the characters, and I enjoyed watching their chemistry. So all we'd need to do is have Happy Superman fly around the world, reverse time, and then we can continue on with the Justice League, because that movie did the poorest. And to me, it was one of the more enjoyable ones. Maybe not
from
quite
a character standpoint.
From a character standpoint, maybe not as quite as enjoyable as Wonder Woman or Aquaman, which were I found both of them fun, but far too long. And mainly because the Justice League villain was pretty milquetoasty, but
well, now you're gonna get Darkseid in the Snyder Cut, so.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel, Ariel. So don't feel badly about it.
I mean, see, but I watched them. Maybe not the Snyder Cut, but more.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Movies.
I appreciate what you say. Like, I don't deny that, you know, you could continue. Obviously, they're going to continue to build on the foundation they have laid. I think the real reason, if you really boil it down, that I want to scrap it all and start over is fundamentally, I despise the fact that the Kents were trying to tell Clark to be selfish and to value self-preservation over helping others. Because to me, that is fundamentally the opposite of what most versions of Superman's origin story point to. Like, the whole idea being that this is an alien who decides that he wants to protect humans because he was raised by genuinely decent people. And when you take that away, it just, like, to me, it's like, well, you just ruined everything. You just, you've soured the whole thing. And yeah, you can get them to come around and choose to be noble, but that's a different character arc. It's not invalid. It just, to me, isn't Superman.
I get it. You know, I enjoyed Man of Steel, which is the movie that started that whole path you don't like of Superman. But while I thought it was an entertaining movie, I did not think it was a great Superman movie. It wasn't a great Superman movie to start off the DCEU with.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't know there was going to be a DCEU, so.
It started with a wrong turn and then it got more wronger.
Fair enough.
But hey, you know what? We also admit, like, that's down to our personal tastes. There may be many of you out there who absolutely love the DC cinematic universe, which, you know, that's totally valid too. Like, your opinions are just as valid as ours.
Yeah. And, you know, I, like you said, I've seen the DCEU movies and I will continue to see them. And, you know, Marvel has had to scrap some of their properties, or has tried to scrap some of their properties multiple times to relaunch them, X-Men, Fantastic Four, things like that. So it's not just parent property specific.
Yeah, no, I mean, also Marvel has caught some flack for not integrating some of their Netflix TV series into the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, that direction only goes one way, where the stuff that happened in the movies gets referenced in the shows, but the shows never get to carry over into the movies.
Until now.
Which is unfortunate, because Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage are all awesome, and Iron Fist is also there.
Yeah, but we think that Daredevil's going to be in the new Spider-Man. So
that's what we're hoping.
So maybe all the rest will follow suit. We'll see. If it works, then they might continue it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was our DC conversation. If we want to talk Marvel, we're going to have to wait till after the break with our mashup.
After 30 years, it's time to return to the halls of West Beverly High and hang out at the Peach Pit. On the podcast 90210 OMG, join Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling for a rewatch of the hit series Beverly Hills 90210 from the very beginning.
We get to tell the fans all of the behind-the-scenes stories that actually happened. So they know what happened on camera, obviously, but we can tell them all the good stuff that happened off camera.
Get all the juicy details of every episode that you've been wondering about for decades as 90210 superfan and radio host Sissany sits in with Jenny and Tori to reminisce, reflect, and relive each moment from Brandon and Kelly's first kiss to shouting, Donna Martin graduates.
You have an amazing memory. You remember everything about the entire 10 years that we filmed that show. And you remember absolutely nothing of the 10 years that we filmed that show.
Listen to 90210 OMG on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick, and we're the hosts of the science podcast Stuff to Blow Your Mind, where every week we get to explore some of the weirdest questions in the universe.
Like, if sci-fi teleportation was possible, how would it square with the multitudes of organisms that inhabit our human bodies?
Can we find evidence of emotions in animals like bees, ants, and crayfish?
How would an interplanetary civilization function?
Does free will exist?
Stuff to Blow Your Mind examines neurological quandaries, cosmic mysteries, evolutionary marvels, and the wonders of techno history. Basically, this show is the altar where we worship the weirdness of reality.
If anybody ever told you, you ask the weirdest questions, it is time to come join us in the place where you belong, the Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcast.
New episodes publish every Tuesday and Thursday with bonus episodes on Saturdays.
Listen to Stuff to Blow Your Mind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, what's up? This is Robin Dixon, co-host of Reasonably Shady, which has just been nominated for an NAACP Image Award in the Outstanding Arts and Entertainment Podcast category. This is so big for Giselle and I. And of course, we must thank all of our fantastic listeners. But we need your help. Visit vote.naacpimageawards.net to vote for Reasonably Shady. That's vote.naacpimageawards.net. But don't wait. Voting closes on February 5th at 9 p.m. Eastern. And make sure to listen to Reasonably Shady every single Monday on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
Okay, Ariel, you picked the two properties that we're going to mash up. And initially, I resisted this, but eventually came around when I thought of a joke so bad that I had to do a mashup. But let's explain what two properties you picked.
Okay, so we picked the Fantastic Four, mainly because of some conversations happening around WandaVision that we're not going to get into, because spoilers. And we also picked Young Frankenstein.
So let's talk a little bit about these properties, because at least in my mashup, I have some, let's call them deep cuts, that I reference that I think are going to be lost on probably 90% of our audience.
Sure. But the basic story is that there's this gentleman, Gene Wilder, who is Dr. Frankenstein. because he doesn't want to be confused with the crazy Dr. Frankenstein, who finds out he's got a like a familial house that he's earned when his great-great-grandfather passed away. And he goes there, and then he becomes the mad scientist and eventually accepts his name Frankenstein. But there's a huge amount of comedy. You've got Igor, who is a play on Igor. You've got Frau Blücher, who is the character that Cloris Leachman played, who every time they say her name, no matter where she is, a horse whinnies because it sounds familiar to the German word for glue, which is never explained in the movie, but it just happens. No,
it's a running gag that they never explain, and I love it.
And it's just such a lighthearted, fun play on a really great but kind of dark story, Frankenstein, that is just brilliant.
Yeah. Fantastic Four. Okay, so in case you aren't aware of who the Fantastic Four are, it's a heroic group of four characters. There have been different members of the Fantastic Four over the years, but the classic four are Reed Richards, who is Mr. Fantastic. He can stretch his limbs and get all bendy. There's Sue Storm, later Sue Richards, who is the Invisible Girl, but she manages to screw the patriarchy and become the Invisible Woman. Comics were not the most woke back in the day. You have Johnny Storm, Sue's brother, who is the Human Torch. And you have Ben Grimm, who becomes the Thing, a big, rocky, orange, Hulk-like guy. And they end up being irradiated. There's different versions of their origin story, but that's how they all get their powers. So they didn't start off with powers. They get them because they're exposed to radiation. They typically are facing off against pretty weird and cosmic kind of bad guys and problems, but they also have a enemy in Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom is frequently their antagonist. And for my story, one important thing you need to know is that at least in one version of the Marvel timeline, Reed Richards and Sue Richards have a son named Franklin Richards, who has like reality bending powers. That's going to be important in my story. There's also other references that longtime Marvel fans are going to get and nobody else. So just a warning.
Yeah. Kind of the same with mine. I was on the opposite end. I was very excited about this at the beginning. And as I was writing my mashup, I quickly went, oh, this is, I cannot meet Mel Brooks' genius. But
yeah, no, this was a challenging one, I will admit. But once I came up with the terrible punchline, everything else was just like, how long can I delay getting to the punchline?
It's a tribute. It's a tribute to something we love and a great actress. So, I apologize, and here we go with the Fantastic Frau Blücher. Okay, so Dr. Reed Richards, pronounced Richards, is speaking at a symposium at Hedgeman University one day when a mysterious figure enters and tells him he has acquired his family's estate in Latveria. While he doesn't like to be associated with his family legacy of mad science, Reed leaves his then-fiancée, Alicia Masters, to see what the ordeal is about. Upon reaching the estate in Latveria, Richards meets a beautiful blonde named Susan and her brother, who introduces himself as Johnny. See, he thinks he's being clever, picking on Richards' pronunciation of his name, but really he's just being kind of annoying. These two are the Storm siblings, who were the assistants of the previous inhabitant, Nathaniel Richards. Reed is so enamored by Susan that he doesn't even notice as the caretaker of the estate, Frau Evelyn Blücher, steps up behind him and offers to show him to his room. When he turns back to invite Susan to dinner, she's gone. Foreshadowing. That evening, as Richards explores the estate, he happens upon a staircase leading to the basement, whereupon he finds the Storm siblings standing over a corpse in a lab as Frau Evelyn Blücher is about to put a brain into the corpse. Oh yeah, there's also a lab horse. Every respectable Latverian lab has one. The name on the jar holding the brain is A. Ben Normal. Richards is surprised and yells out Frau Blücher's name, which startles a horse who kicks the reanimation machine, showering all of the inhabitants in the room with radiation as Frau places a brain in the corpse. All of a sudden, the corpse is alive, but he is melded with the stone slab he was laying on to gain a stone skin. Susan is gone, but Reshores can hear her yelling, and John Eye accidentally ignites, scaring the grim monster thing away. Reshores reaches for the door, realizing he doesn't need to move his feet to do so, but his stretchy arm reaches the door too late. Only Frau Blücher is not affected by the radiation, having assisted her beloved Nathaniel for so many years that she had become immune to it. All the to-do incites the local authority, Inspector Von Doom, a man with one good eye, a metal mask, and a metal arm, to come question Reshords. However, all Reshords can make out about what Inspector Doom is saying is that there's a monster, and if he finds him, he will end him. You see, his mask is muffling too much of the other words he's saying for Reshords to even understand it. Now the three and Frau must find this thing. Thankfully, Aben Normal was actually the love child of Nathaniel and Frau Evelyn Blückert, and she knows just how to find him with his childhood love of pizza. There's only one pizza joint in Latveria, and tonight is open mic night. When they get there, they find the grim thing doing stand-up and enjoying a slice. They know they must protect him, being so unique and clever, so they bring him back to the estate, just as Reed's fiancée, Alicia, shows up. She sees the thing, but instead of being frightened, falls in love with him. Which is okay, because Reshores has kind of actually got a thing for Susan. And as we pan out from the estate, we see John I. Storm hiding worriedly behind a horse as Frau Evelyn Blücher searches him for him longingly, because she's also a bit of a pyromaniac.
I like that there seem to be some references to the original Fantastic Four film that Roger Corman produced that was never released.
Specifically for you, Jonathan.
Because you can't understand Doom in that version. No. All right, well, here's mine. The title will become into it later.
Okay.
We open in the Baxter Building as the Fantastic Four's headquarters. The Fantastic Four are an established team at this point, having had many adventures under their collective belts. Reed and Sue Richards are the proud parents of a young boy named Franklin, who has impressive powers of his own. Our heroes receive a distress call. They must immediately head off to Latveria to battle the nefarious Dr. Doom. Little Franklin is left behind in the care of others. The next morning, his caretakers are glued to the television, watching reports that Doom, the Fantastic Four, and indeed all of Latveria have disappeared. The scene dissolves and we see a title card saying, 25 years later. Franklin is an adult now, giving a lecture at a prestigious university. He's an expert in linguistics and history, and is clearly attempting to suppress his past and his own superpowers. While giving the lecture, one determined student keeps asking Franklin about his famous parents, Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman, and his famous uncle, the Human Torch, and also that big rocky dude known as the Thing. Franklin attempts to dismiss the questions with humor, but the student persists, and in a moment of temper, Franklin uses his reality-bending superpowers to turn the student into a jack-in-the-box. Class dismissed, he says. After his lecture, an old man who had been sitting in on the lecture comes forward, revealing himself to be a messenger from Latveria. He explains that, without any warning, the entire nation that had disappeared is back. Much of it is in ruins, but not all of it. And that Franklin, in particular, is urged to go there to claim his birthright. Though the old man doesn't have much information about what exactly that is. Franklin, overcome with anxiety, makes arrangements to travel to Latveria right away, arriving by train. At the station, he is greeted by the humanoid experimental robot B-Type Integrated Electronics, or Herbie. Though, it's pronounced Herbi, according to the robot. Herbi and Franklin travel to an old abandoned castle. Used to be Dr. Doom's lair, but now it's practically unoccupied as Doom and the Fantastic Four have not reappeared. Along the way, Franklin and Herbi encounter a young woman named Inga Summers, who was given instructions to help assist Franklin in any way. Oh, and I mentioned that Doom's castle was practically unoccupied, but no, there is one person there, Frau Blücher, who is secretly Cynthia Von Doom, Dr. Doom's mother, played by Cloris Leachman, of course. At the castle, Franklin spends time exploring, attempting to find any signs of what happened to the Fantastic Four. Blücher tries to encourage him to embrace his superpowers, but Franklin resists, unwilling to acknowledge that this is, in fact, his birthright. What follows is an adventure in which Franklin tries to make his own robot without the use of his superpowers. He builds a robotic human torch, which just goes around insisting that no, he's the real original human torch, and Johnny Storm was the second human torch. You just gotta buy the comics to find out that the original human torch was a robot, but Franklin points out that if you are a robot, you aren't a human torch, you're a robot torch, and that goes poorly. Next thing you know, the robot human torch is rampaging through the countryside. Franklin and team have to lure the robot back, insisting that it's not evil, it's just misdirected. Franklin is able to coax the robotic human torch back to the castle with promises of a special Oktoberfest celebration, knowing that the robot is particularly fond of oompa bands. And so Franklin, Inga Summers, and Herbie play polka, luring the human torch robot back to the castle. In the process, the robot discovers a hidden compartment in the castle, and in it is a special German beer mug. Emblazoned on it are the Fantastic Four, and on the bottom of the mug it's a message to Franklin with love from Mom and Dad. And then it happens. We finally smash cut to the title of the movie, Young Frankenstein. Cut to end credits. Post-credits scene. I guess the Fantastic Four and Doom show up or something. I don't know. You saw where it was going.
I did. And I don't know whether to say thank you or I'm so sorry.
Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, we got it. We got it.
Because it's a German beer mug, you see.
Yeah.
And his name's Franklin.
Okay. Okay, so if any of you think you've got a better way to mash up the Fantastic Four and Young Frankenstein better than Frankenstein or the Fantastic Frau, please reach out to us and tell us. We would love to hear your mashup ideas, and if we like, we might even read them on the air.
Yeah, and the Human Torch really was originally a robot. Okay, anyway.
Would a Human Torch just, like, robot torch just be like a lighter? Like a sexy lighter?
So. You would think so, but yeah, you know, the Human Torch was one of the original heroes that Marvel inherited along with Captain America. But no, that's a story for a different time. If you guys want to reach out to us, the best way to do so is, well, you can do it through email. The email address for the show is lnc@iheartmedia.com. You can do it over on Twitter, where we are lnc_podcast, or on Facebook or Instagram, where we're Large Nerdron Collider. We also have our website, largenerdroncollider.com, that has our show notes as well as every episode, including the really old ones. So if you want to go back and listen to geek news from 2017, you can. And am I forgetting anything? Oh, if you like this show, tell people about it. Give us a review. Let your friends know about it, because our community only gets better as it grows.
Yes, we really enjoy the conversations we've been having with you already. We've gotten your suggestions for mashups, and we're thinking on them and brainstorming on them. When you tell your friends, and even for you, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on any of our future episodes. And until next time, he has been Johnny the Storm Strickland.
And until next time, she has been Frau Blücher.
The Large Nerdron Collider is a production of iHeartRadio and was created by Ariel Kasten. Jonathan Strickland is the executive producer. The show is produced, edited, and published by Tari Harrison. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Still living in 2021 and manually taking notes? There is a better way. Start the new year with Otter.ai. Automatically get meeting notes. Otter.ai works for virtual meetings like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Google Meet. Sign up on the web for free or download in the app stores. Otter.ai. That's OTTER.ai. Still living in 2021 and manually taking notes? There is a better way. Start the new year with Otter.ai. Automatically get meeting notes. Otter.ai works for virtual meetings like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Google Meet. Sign up on the web for free or download in the app stores. Otter.ai. That's OTTER.ai.
Raffi is the voice of some of the happiest songs of our generation.
Baby Beluga.
So, who is the man behind Baby Beluga?
Every human being wants to feel respected. When we start with young children, all good things can grow from there.
I'm Chris Garcia, comedian, new dad, and host of Finding Raffi, a new podcast from iHeartRadio and Fatherly. Listen every Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.